Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. We'll be spending some moments meditating on these verses as we continue meditating upon our Lord's last night on this earth before his crucifixion. So give your attention now to the reading of the Word of God from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we pray now that you would bless the preaching of your word, that your love would be poured into our hearts through your Holy Spirit, whom you have given us, that we may love you and love our neighbor, just as Christ has loved us. And we ask in his name, amen. When our Lord said, "A new commandment I give to you," what made that commandment new was not the fact that the disciples had never heard Jesus command them to love. Jesus had told them to love before. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, Jesus says that the two great commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The commandment to love one another is found all throughout the Old Testament. So when Christ says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another," what makes that commandment new is not the command to love one another, but the phrase that he adds after that commandment, "As I have loved you, so love one another." The same Apostle John who recorded the Maundy Thursday words, "A new commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us," he recorded those in his gospel. And in this letter that he wrote to us, he expounds further on that idea. What does it mean to love others as Christ has loved us? And indeed, that is what the Apostle John wants us to do. He wants us to love others as Christ has loved us. To see that, two simple points tonight: what love is and what love does. So first, what love is. Now, this passage has a lot to say about love. In fact, it has one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture about love. The very end of verse 8, "God is love." This is a popular passage in the Scriptures. It's often a misused passage, unfortunately, in the Scriptures. Oftentimes, it's twisted to mean the opposite, to really say love is God. That is, that love, as we human creatures like to define it and think about it, is the ultimate consideration, the greatest possible thing that anyone could aspire to. But the Apostle John didn't say that love is God. He said God is love. In other words, love is not what we define it. Love is as God defines it. Love is not a human reality that we look and experience and then project onto God. No, it is something that God is in himself and then gives to us in his creating and redeeming of us. Verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another." Why? "For love is not from us, but from God." God is love. In fact, it's not just that God defines love. God, in fact, is love. He is love itself. He is the very definition of love. He is the very love in his being. For God to be God is for God to be love, for him to love. He cannot help but love, and all creaturely loves are only loving insofar as they refer back to the one who defines love, God himself. How do we know what love is? Because we look to God, John says. He defines what it is to love. Think about something, for instance, in our ordinary common day existence, like a light bulb. We call it a light bulb because it's made to shine light. And yet there's a sense in which we can conceive of a light bulb without light. And there's a sense in which a light bulb isn't even the greatest form of light that we can think of. Now compare a light bulb to walking outside on a cloudless day in a blue sky and looking up at the sun. For us human beings living here on earth, the sun is in a sense the definition of what it is to be light. All light is really just in reference to the sun. It is light itself. In fact, for the sun to even exist is to be light, to give off light. You can't even conceive of a sun without shining brightness and glorious light. And in the same way, when we think about what love is, God himself is love. He is the defining characteristic of what love is, and all other creaturely loves are only love insofar as they reference to God and make us think of God. God is love. And yet John doesn't leave us in the pure world of abstractions. He expounds a little bit on what it is and for God to be love and how it is that God can be love. Look at what he says in verse 9. After saying God is love, he says, "In this the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world." That name of Christ used here, Son, is all important. John uses other names for our Lord. In fact, just at the beginning of this chapter, in chapter 4, he refers to our Lord as Jesus, or to him as Jesus Christ. And then here in this passage, when he wants us to think about the fact that God is love, he shifts and he makes us remember that Jesus is not just the Christ, he is Son. In fact, he is God's Son. He is, as the older translations put it, the only begotten Son of the Father. That is, that just as human fathers beget, in a sense, give of their own life and give life to human sons who are just as human as they are human, so God the Father, eternally, outside of space and time and creaturely realities, gives life, as it were, to his divine Son, who is as perfectly divine, as perfectly God, as the Father himself is. Or as John says in his Gospel, chapter 5, verse 26, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And just as human fathers, when they beget human sons, live in delight and sheer loving, blessed relationship with their sons, so God the Father and God the Son eternally delight in one another, glory in one another, live in perfect loving communion with one another and the Holy Spirit. God is love because God has always had his Son. He has always had someone to love. He has always had someone return that love in perfect, eternal, Trinitarian relationship. God is love because he has always had his eternally begotten Son. If we could summarize the way that God would have us think of love, we could define love like this. We could say that love is a gift of oneself to another for their good. It is a gift of oneself to another for their good. Now, if all of that is difficult to understand, there's a couple things to say. The first thing I would say is good. It is difficult. We're not talking about mere creatures here. We're talking about God. The Apostle John is beckoning our minds upward to use creaturely realities around us to think of God as he is in himself. But the second thing I would say is that God understands that it is difficult to understand him. It is difficult to truly contemplate God as he is in his own perfect divine life. So what does he do? He comes down to us. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. If love is a gift of the self to another for their good, then there can be no greater example of love than God himself coming into this world, taking on human flesh, giving of his own life for us so that we might live through him. There is no greater self than God. There is no greater gift than the very life of the incarnate Son of God who goes to the cross, who gives his life for sinful creatures. And there is no greater gift that can be given, no greater good that God could give us than life with him. Eternal life with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. There is no greater definition of love than what we observe and remember and meditate upon on Maundy Thursday. We live in a world that is constantly trying to press us into its mold, that's constantly trying to give us false views of love. We live in a world that says love is first and foremost about yourself. It's about taking care of yourself, about looking toward yourself, and insofar as you look to others, you do so that you may feel better about yourself. Self-love is what is all important in this world. But what Maundy Thursday teaches us is the truth. That love looks outward from oneself. That love looks to the good of others, not to our own good. In this, the love of God is made manifest among us, that God gives his Son. That's what love is. But if that's what love is, then a natural following question is, what does love do? You've probably heard before, it's been often said that love is a verb. Love is an action. Love isn't just a thing that sits. Love is a thing that does. It moves outward and it does things. So it's very natural to ask, well, if that's what love is, then what does love do? John helps us understand here. First thing that we see that love does is that love looks outward. Verses 9 and 10, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you notice the verbs there? How does God manifest his love among us? He manifests his love by looking outward, by not keeping to himself, but by overflowing in his love and his divine, eternal, Trinitarian love into love for his creatures. He sends his Son into the world. He doesn't keep him to himself. No, he comes into our world. He becomes one of us. God isn't purely inward facing. No, God looks outward, and in doing so, he shows us that true love is not something that hoards, is not something that keeps to itself, is not something that looks to itself. True love is other focused, is outward facing. Beloved, are you living an outward facing life? Are you looking out from yourself? Yes, there is a category for self-love. Scripture says, in fact, it assumes that we love ourselves, and there's not anything necessarily wrong with that. But the key to understand is that self-love is not to be turned into selfish love. Yes, we love ourselves, but we love ourselves so that our love may flow outward, that it may not stay bottled up inside of us, but that it may go out forth from us, issued outward in love toward others. Love for God first and foremost, and then neighbor as ourselves. Love looks outward, and the last thing that we notice from this passage is that love gives from oneself. Or, to put it in a different way, love sacrifices. Love sacrifices. How is the love of God made manifest among us? By God sending his Son into this world for our sins. It is made manifest among us by the Son of God going to the cross, sacrificing everything he had. It's easy to love when someone feels easy to love, when it doesn't feel as if there's much of a cost to it, but where the rubber hits the road is where love is truly manifested, and that is when love costs something, when there is sacrifice. We love as Christ loved us when we are willing to give from what we have, when we are willing to sacrifice our time, our energy, our money, our attention, and even sometimes our very lives, when we are willing to pay a price for love, that is when we have truly loved as Christ loved us, when we look out from ourselves and sacrifice for the good of others. Brothers and sisters, look to the cross, see what Christ has done, and let us love one another. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would help us love. We pray that we would love just as Christ has loved us. That he looked not to his own good, but to us. That he looked to bring us life with you, our great God. Lord, may we be a people who love just as Christ loved. And we ask in his name, amen.